Lord. Okay, so here's the title of the message today, and I got to tell you, before I was even going to, before anything happened Monday, this was already last week, the Lord gave this to me, and this is what I was going to preach. Here's the title. Ready? But God. But God. And how appropriate. Amen? But God. Some of my favorite scriptures are the but God verses that are throughout God's Word. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody want to talk about the but God verses that are throughout Scripture? There's a lot of them, and you may not know that, but they're there. But God. But God brings hope when we can't see a way through. Amen? But God means that ashes aren't the end of our story. Literally. Okay? But God says God always gets the last word, not our circumstances. I've had the privilege over the years of being a minister, being called by God to counsel many of his children. So after years of sitting with hurting people and listening to all kinds of circumstances and going through the trials of life myself, I've discovered one very important principle. When you are a child of God, at the end of the circumstances and the trials and the stories of pain, there is always a but God. Amen? Always. When you're his child, the story, the trial, the situation, the circumstances, the pain, the heartache, the difficulties is not the end. There's a but God. People's marriages seem like they're being destroyed. But God. People's children are away from the Lord and they're in all kinds of mess. Can anybody testify to that? But God. Your life may seem like it's falling apart, but God. When we're struggling, we're up against overwhelming circumstances, parenting struggles, razor-thin finances, or a new diagnosis, we may see no way out. We're helpless to fix it ourselves, and we're left wondering how this will all end. I'll tell you how it will end, but God. God is a redeemer. Can anybody say amen? He's a redeemer. He redeems all things to himself. But he not only redeems us to himself, he redeems our stories for himself. He redeems our stories. No matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it may be or seem, no matter where in your mind you're going, I don't know how this is going to end, I don't know what's going to happen, the one thing you can count on is there is a but God. So today I want to look at some scriptures that tell us this, that show us this. We're going to look at four different passages of scripture today, or four different stories, if you will. But I have to start with redemption. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and let's start with the redemption story. Ephesians 2, 1 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of this in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God. Amen? But God. How many of you know what's about to come after that but God? Right? But God. You're looking at the scripture, so you know what's coming. Let's look at it. But God is so rich in mercy. Come on. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Amen. Aren't you thankful for this but God scripture? I want to remind you today that God is merciful. He is merciful. No matter what happens, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, God's merciful. He's rich in mercy. I got to tell you personally, I was trapped in addiction, but God. I was chained in immorality, but God. I was on my way to hell. I was on my way to the devil's hell, but God. We deserve to die for our sins. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We deserve to die for our sins, but God. There's no way that we could have saved ourselves, but God. Everyone else, oh, come on, you can testify to this. Everyone else might have given up on me, but God did not. God saw something in me that no one else could see. But God. God is merciful. God has great love for us. Amen. The next thing I want to look at is in Genesis. In fact, the last three scriptures I want to look at are in Genesis. So I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 tells us all about the flood. About how Noah was in the ark with his family during the flood, and how the flood waters covered the earth, and how every living creature that walked the earth was destroyed. How Noah was left in this big boat with his family and a whole bunch of stinky animals. Now, you say, well, he was in there for 40 days and 40 nights. No, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Read the scriptures. It says that Noah was in that boat with his family and those animals for over a year. Think about that. Huh? Have you ever slept in a tent with somebody for a couple of nights? Come on, y'all. Hello? Well, there's no showers, right? And you're like, I got to get home. Like, I like camping, but not this much. Noah was in this ark with no way to shower, with his family and these stinky animals for over a year. So I would say that Noah saw some things, and he was having to have faith in God like he's never had before. You know, it says in the Bible that the waters covered even the highest mountains several meters deep in water. So the highest mountain on the earth is 30,000 feet high. Can you imagine the water is higher than that? And so Noah's in this boat for almost a year with all these stinky animals. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Get ready. Ready? But God remembered Noah. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock in the boat with him. And he sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. I want to remind you today that God remembers. He remembers the promises he made to you. He remembers what he spoke to you in your heart. He remembers what he's promised you and what he's said to you over the years. God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten what he promised you. How many of you God spoke to you years ago and made you a promise or gave you a calling and you know it? Raise your hand. God hasn't forgotten that promise. He hasn't forgotten that calling. That calling is not dead. It's not forgotten. God remembers the anointing he put on your life. He remembers it. No one can take it away. No matter how deep the water gets, the promise is still there. God remembers. It may seem like you've been in this boat a long, long time. Can anybody testify? It may seem like the waters will never recede. It may seem like you can't take one more day of the stench you're living in right now. But God remembers. He remembers what he said to you. And he will make a way. He will make a way. See, what happened with Noah is the waters receded. And one day shortly after that, Noah stepped out onto dry land, and God gave him another promise in the form of a rainbow. And I want to tell you today, because God remembers, he's about to send a wind into your life that's going to cause those waters to recede. He's going to cause them to recede. You're about to step out onto solid ground. It may feel like and have felt like you would never see it again, but it's about to happen in your life. God remembers you. Don't give up now. God remembers. Don't give up. You're almost there. God remembers. You know, the enemy would want us to give up right before the breakthrough. He would want us to quit right before the dawn. It may seem very dark right now, but I'm telling you, the sun is about to rise in your life. The waters are about to recede. You're about to step out on the dry ground because God remembers the promise he made to you. He remembers. Next, I want to look at a story in Genesis chapter 31. In Genesis, we see also how Jacob was poorly treated by his father-in-law, Laban. Laban mistreated Jacob. He deceived him. He took advantage of him. He constantly cut his wages instead of rewarding him. He was a terrible father-in-law, but a more terrible boss. Okay, so this is to everybody that may be going through a trial in the workplace or on the job, or you have before. Can anybody testify to that? A couple amens out there today. And it may apply to many other areas of your life, but in Genesis 31, we see that Laban was chasing down Jacob because Jacob had taken the family and had left, and Laban was chasing after him. He wanted to catch up with him, and when he was on his way to catch up with him, something happened, and then he caught up with Jacob, and when he did, this is the conversation that ensued. And Jacob speaking in verse 40, Genesis 31, 40, and he says this, he says, I worked for you through the scorching heat of the day and through the cold and sleepless nights. Yes, for 20 years I slaved in your house. I worked for 14 years earning your two daughters and then 6 more years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. In fact, if the God of my father had not been on my side, the God of Abraham and the fearsome God of Isaac, you would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen your abuse and my hard work. This is why he appeared to you last night and rebuked you. I want to remind you today that God sees. Amen. God sees. He sees everything. God sees how you have been treated or mistreated. God sees how you've responded. God sees that you worked hard and you were honest and you did not repay evil for evil. It may seem like you will never get that job or that promotion, but God. It may seem like you will never be treated fairly, but God. It may seem like this job is a dead-end job, but God. It may seem like there may be family members in your life that will never let up, will never treat you right, will always be those type of family members, but God. Can we just be real for a moment this morning? Anybody got some dysfunction in the family? And come on, raise your hand. I want to see. Anybody but me got dysfunction in the family? You know, I said one time when I was preaching, I said, like, you know, you got somebody who's the black sheep of the family, and I, raise your hand if you got somebody in your family who's black sheep, and some people didn't raise their hand, and I said, well, then it's you. Right? I can't think of anyone. Yeah. We all go through struggles with our family members. Jacob was going through a big one. Big one. I would say there's probably not a lot of people in this place that could say their life matches up to Jacob's and what he went through with Laban. But you may come close. But even in the midst of all of this and what's happening there, Jacob had the ability to say, yeah, you did all these things, but God. But God has seen what you've done, and he sees me. I want to also say this to you, whether it's with your family, whether it's on the in the workplace or any other situation, I want you to know that God sees how you respond. And that's particularly important to me. And some things I've been through in my life, it's important to know that God sees how we respond. Has anybody in this place tried to respond the way the Lord instructs us to respond in his word, but you just feel like it's not seen? And over again you try to respond that way, and over again you just feel like it's ignored and not seen? I want you to know God sees. He sees that. He sees that you kept your mouth shut when you could have opened your mouth. He sees that you were silent. He sees that you didn't repay evil for evil. He sees you. And he knows. He'll take care of you. In verse 24 of chapter 31, God appeared to Laban in a dream, and this is what he said. He said, I'm warning you, leave Jacob alone. I want you to know today that God sees and he's got your back. He's got your back. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to say a thing. God will speak for you. He'll go to those people and he'll warn them, take your hand off. Shut your mouth. Leave them alone. That's my son. That's my daughter. Let go. God sees. He'll handle it. God will do all the talking for you. How many of you think that you can talk better than God can? Anybody? Oh, nobody? Okay, good. I think he can do it better than us, don't you? The last thing I want to go to and I want to look at today is the last several chapters of Genesis is the story of Joseph, Jacob's son. And Joseph had the favor of God on him. God gave Joseph a couple of dreams that his father, one day his father and his mother and his brothers would bow down to him. And his father ended up giving Joseph this coat of many colors, and this coat symbolizes a favor and anointing. The favor and anointing of God is what this coat symbolizes. So when Jacob put this coat on Joseph, it was a symbolization that Joseph was anointed and favored by God. So you combine that with the dreams that Joseph had, and his brothers hated him. His brothers hated the fact that Joseph had these dreams, and he thought that his brothers and his family would bow down to him. You know, sometimes, you know, I just need to step away for a second, because I just hear the Holy Spirit saying that sometimes there are people that are closest to you that will envy and be jealous of the anointing God has placed upon you. They'll look at your life and they'll look at how God's used you and blessed you and anointed you and given you favor, and they're envious of it. They're jealous of it. And they get mad at you because of it. And anything that happens in your life, they look for a way to point a finger at you. And this is what was happening with Joseph. His brothers were madly jealous about him. And so they were so jealous that they devised a plan to throw him in a deep cistern that had no water in it. And then they lied to their father and said that Joseph had died. And then they sold him off to slave traders and he was taken to Egypt. And Joseph was gaining favor in Egypt in the position he was in Potiphar's house. And then as he's gaining favor in Potiphar's house, he's falsely accused of a sexual crime. He's convicted and he's thrown in prison. Can you imagine? God gives Joseph dreams. God gives Joseph favor. Yet Joseph is repeatedly mistreated, lied about, schemed against, falsely accused, wrongly convicted, and thrown into prison. God gave him dreams, God gave him promises, God gave him anointing, and God gave him favor. Yet all of these things happened to him. Too often we look at people's lives and what is happening in their lives, and we get all religious and high and mighty and go, they must have done something wrong because bad things are happening to them. We need to stop judging by the circumstances we see and start looking at what God is doing in that person's life. Joseph was highly favored of God and used. In fact, I want to just pull this in. See, God remembered the promises he made to Joseph. And God saw, he sees where Joseph is at this point. God remembers and God sees. And so the favor and the anointing had never left Joseph. And even though he's sitting in prison where he should not be, The situation looked devastating. It looked like it had gone from bad to worse. But God, it must have felt like the floodwaters would never recede for Joseph. But God remembered the promises he made, and it probably seemed like the wrongs would never be righted, but God saw that. It probably seemed like everything that was said and done would continue on, but God saw it. He sees the jealousy. He sees the envy. He sees the lies they told. He sees everything they've done. He doesn't miss a thing. So Joseph is given favor with everyone in the prison. He's interpreting dreams. He's talking to people about the Lord, having Bible studies. Even the guards are noticing something different about Joseph. Then he's brought to the attention of the highest in command, Pharaoh himself. And he's released, exonerated, and made second in command of all of Egypt. But God. Then in Genesis chapter 50, look there with me, verses 18 through 20. This is what it says. It says, then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? Watch verse 20. Ready? You intended to harm me. Everybody say it with me. But God. Oh, come on. Can we just take a praise break right there? You intended to harm me. But God, you intended to do me harm, but God intended it all for good. You know what Joseph is saying? It doesn't matter what your intentions were. My God's intentions were something different than yours. You intended it to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Now watch this. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. I love Joseph's perspective here, don't you? And he could have complained. He could have grumbled. He could have criticized. He could have been like, man, I'm tired of this. I want out of here. I'm done. But he didn't. I got to stop here and tell you this. This is another thing that happened this week. It's because, see, yeah, you can say it's my fault. It was my fault with the fireworks, I guess. But you could say all of that. But look, but God, anybody in here make a mistake before? But God, right? And during all of this, during this week, and talking to the insurance company and doing all the stuff we're doing and all of that, Kim calls our accountant. Lives down in Indiana to say, okay, what do we need to do here and here? And she says, when she answers the phone, she knew it was Kim just because of her voice and her accent. And she said, well, who am I speaking to? And Kim said, hey, Carol. And she said, I got to tell you, I met a pastor this week who came and said to me, have you read this amazing book, The Complaining Cure? Carol said, yeah, I know all about that book because we had sent Carol a copy of the book. She had read it and all of that. She said, I know all about that book. That's an amazing book. So there's a pastor in Indiana that somehow got a hold of The Complaining Cure, and he's telling people about it. And then Kim tells me that this week we also got royalties from Australia. Now listen, let me just tell you this. In case you don't know, every penny from this book of profit, and every penny that comes in goes to this church, not to us, to this church. We set it up that way from the beginning when we wrote this book. So every penny that comes, so you need to be praying that Australia explodes with revival, with the Complaining Cure, that people keep buying it. Bible studies everywhere. Last year we got some from Norway or something. Where? Netherlands. That they wanted to make copies in their language so they could do Bible studies with it. And so now we just hear about this week. That's not a coincidence, y'all. But God. Right? God's going to pour out his spirit. God's going to do what he promised. We just have to trust him. We just have to wait for him. Wait for the promise. It will happen. The floodwaters will recede. Yeah? He remembers. He sees. He sees. And God will use it all for good. No matter what the intentions were, he'll use it all for good. So here it is, y'all. Here it is. God is merciful. God remembers. God sees. And God will use it all for good. Amen. The enemy wanted to destroy you, but God. They said I wouldn't make it. They said my life was over. They said I had no anointing. They said my family was falling apart. They said my marriage wouldn't make it. They said this sickness was the last in my body. They said the disease is true. Come on, y'all. They can say all they want to say. All I have to say is, but God. But God. There are so many more scriptures, but I'm going to end this message right here. There are so many more scriptures in the Bible. But God, Psalm 54, 3 and 4 says, "For strangers are attacking me. Violent people are trying to kill me. They care nothing for God. But God is my helper. The Lord keeps me alive." Psalm 64, 6 and 7 says, "As they plot their crimes, they say, 'We have devised a perfect plan. Yes, the human heart and mind are cunning.' But God himself will shoot them down with his arrow, suddenly striking them down." Here's a really good one. Acts 13, 30. "They placed him, Jesus, in the tomb, but God raised him from the dead." Amen? How about Galatians 4, 7? "Now you are no longer slaves, but God's own child." There's one last scripture, just a story that I want to point you to. Because I want everybody in this place that you're dealing with sickness in your body, I want you to stand. You're dealing with sickness. Especially the continuing stuff. I know there's several people I've been praying for. You got some sickness going on, and it's just not... You're not seeing the manifestation of healing, and those symptoms continue. Come on, you got symptoms that have continued. Stand up. I don't care if it's a hangnail that you just can't get over, all right? Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. You're about to receive from the Lord. You're about to receive a but God. How many are ready to receive that? Oh, yes, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, can you just put your hands out in front of them and say, "Thank you. Thank you, Father. I receive right now what you're about to do in my body. I've been waiting a long time." Come on, anybody been waiting a long time? The flood waters seem like they'll never recede, Father. But I know you're about to do it. I know you're about to do it. Jesus was walking through the crowds. And this, the Bible says that in Luke, the Bible says that the crowds were pressing in on him. And as they were pressing in on him, this leader came, Jairus, leader of the synagogue, came to Jesus and said, "Will you come and pray for my daughter? She's dying." So Jesus said yes and responded to him and was on his way. And as the crowds were pressing in, the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the garment, Jesus' garment. And when she did, Jesus stopped. I want everybody in here, everybody standing, everybody look at me. Look at me. Jesus stopped what he was doing with Jairus. His daughter's dying. It's serious. And Jesus stopped. And Jesus has this whole conversation about who touched me. Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of Jairus, not the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus, because he needed an answer from God. He felt like he was at the end of his rope. His daughter's about to die, and Jesus stops and has this conversation with the woman with the issue of blood. She was healed just like that when she touched his garment. She was healed. And he has this conversation, and while he's talking with her, a servant from his household comes to Jairus and says, Don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter has died. And the Bible says this. It says, Jesus overheard them. And the servant says, don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter has died. And the very next verse says, but Jesus. But Jesus. Come on, y'all. But Jesus. It may seem like it's not coming, but Jesus. It may seem like it's over. His daughter was dead, but Jesus turned to him and said, do not fear, only have faith. She is alive. And he went to the house and he threw everybody out. And he went in and took the little girl's hand and said, get up. And she got up. But God, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Oh, I want you to get a hold of this today. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how many times the enemy comes against you. But God, but God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive healing today. Right now. It's settled. It's settled in our spirit. It's a settled fact. Father, it's the truth. It's the truth of your word. It's the truth. We are healed. By your stripes, Jesus, we are healed.